Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 28. The return to Antioch in Syria. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for Chris. Lord, we just ask you to bless Chris now. May your peace fall upon him. May the Holy Spirit within him be recharged in order to bring this word to this fellowship. And maybe it will be a word that we will take to heart so that we can move on to a fresh week with freshness. So bless Chris now. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. So I've got a reasonably short message for you this morning compared to my normal sermons anyway. And then we're going to sing a hymn, get the children back in, and then we'll have our time of testimony. So if you put up the slide, please. It's a slide we had last week, but I liked it, so I thought I'd nick it and use it today. So it doesn't matter if you can't find it. That's the one. So today's passage marks the end of Paul's first missionary journey, which started from the previous chapter. It's only taken us about 4 weeks, but it took Paul and his companions between 1 to 2 years, covering a distance of 700 miles by land and 500 miles by sea. And once they'd finished preaching in Derby, they decided it was time to return home to their sending church in Antioch. Now, on the way back, they retraced their steps and revisited all the churches they'd established. Now, in several of these cities, Paul and Barnabas had been threatened and physically attacked, and yet they still returned. They felt an obligation and a responsibility to these fledgling believers. They had come to their towns, converted some, and then moved on to the next town, sometimes hurriedly. That's not what Paul and Barnabas wanted, and Jesus had said to make disciples, not converts. And that's a lesson for us. Do we follow up or keep in touch with the people we share our faith with? Do we witness and hopefully see a life changed and saved, and then just move on to the next potential convert? Do we hold courses and events and see God move, but then wait for people to contact us rather than us staying in contact with them? When Paul and Barnabas returned to the various towns, they strengthened and encouraged the believers to remain true to the faith. They had both suffered for their faith, so knew that these disciples would too. We can sometimes forget or ignore the spiritual battle aspect of our faith. When we step out in faith, when we tell someone about Jesus, when we do something that God has asked us to do, we are likely to face opposition from Satan. Paul knew this from experience, so he encouraged others so that when they were persecuted, they wouldn't be surprised and abandon their faith. The prize, if they kept their faith, was entering into the kingdom of God. This would have been preached all along, right from John the Baptist to Jesus, and now the apostles and disciples. The kingdom of Satan was and is in its last days. Jesus has taken back the keys and is building his kingdom on earth. Jesus was the promised Messiah and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and is currently seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. It's Jesus, not the world rulers or governments, who's the final authority. That's what the disciples grasped, and perhaps we need to re-grasp that reality. In the words of R.C. Sproul, if you wonder why the first century church turned the world upside down and we do not, it is because they preached the kingdom of God and we do not. The second thing Paul and Barnabas did was to appoint elders for each church with prayer and fasting. They established an organisational structure so there would be order and accountability. Now, apart from the rare visit or the occasional letter, the believers wouldn't hear from them again. So the elders appointed had to be the right people, God's choice for that church at that time. So they prayed and fasted with the new elders and committed them to the Lord by the laying on of hands, an act symbolising entrusting God to continue working in their lives and guiding them in leading the new church. Once Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, they gathered the whole church together to report back. And notice it says, all that God had done through them. They didn't try to take any credit for themselves. All that had happened to them over the last year or two could only have been God's working. They recognised their responsibility to God and to their sending church. If you remember back at the start of chapter 13, it was the Holy Spirit who said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The church, who had been worshipping and fasting, responded by fasting, praying, and laying their hands on the two of them and sending them off. Recognising the authority of both the Holy Spirit and the sending church, they duly returned and reported all that God had done through them. And incidentally, it was during this long stay at Antioch, but before the Council of Jerusalem in the next chapter, when Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians. And you can just imagine what Paul's report might have been like. Our first stop after being sent off was Cyprus. We travelled the island from Salome in the east to Paphos in the west, proclaiming the word of God in the synagogues. Would you believe it? Even the proconsul, Sergius Paulus was his name, sang for us so he too could hear the word of God. It was then that we ran into our first bit of trouble. He had attending him a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet who opposed us and tried to turn him away from the faith. But the Holy Spirit intervened. I was filled with the Spirit and was led to tell the sorcerer he was going to be blinded. And immediately he was. He had been led away by the hand, much like I had to be led into Damascus. All this convinced a proconsul who believed and was amazed at our teaching, praise be to God. Then we made our way over to Pisidian Antioch. As usual, on the Sabbath we attended the synagogue. As we were visitors, we were asked if we had a message of encouragement for them. What an opportunity. So I reminded them in detail of our history, starting with our stay in Egypt and ending with the coming of Jesus and how he was the long-promised Messiah. It went so well that, as we were leaving, they asked us to return the following Sabbath. So we did. And you'll never guess what happened. Almost the whole city turned out to hear the word of the Lord. Now, unfortunately, some of the local Jews became so jealous of the crowds that God was drawing to us that they started talking abusively against us. So we decided to preach to the Gentiles, who were glad of this and honoured the word of the Lord, and some believed. However, we ended up being expelled from that region, so we shook the dust from our feet and moved on. But we and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Our next stop was Iconium. Again, we were opposed, but a great number of both Jews and Gentiles believed. Not only that, but God enabled us to do miraculous signs and wonders to confirm his grace. Now, unfortunately, we learned of a plot to ill-treat and stone us, so we hurriedly moved on to Iconium. In Lystra, we came across a man who'd been lame since birth. You could tell the man had faith to be healed, so I called out to him to stand on his feet. He didn't stand on his feet. Oh no, he jumped up and started walking. Praise be to God. Now, unfortunately, the locals thought that Barnabas and I were Zeus and Hermes and wanted to sacrifice to us. They so grieved us that we tore our clothes. We tried to put them straight, insisting that we were human, just like them, and it should be the living God they worship. But they just didn't listen. Then things got worse. You remember those troublemaking Jews from Iconium? Well, they showed up. They won over the crowd to such an extent that I was stoned and dumped outside the city, presumed dead. Now, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. I was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. The disciples from the city gathered around my body and prayed. And I got up, brushed myself down, and went straight back into the city. Thanks be to God. The following day, we preached in Derbe. And again, a large number of people became disciples. Then we felt it was time to return. So we retraced our steps, strengthening and encouraging the new disciples and appointing elders for each church. It was a blessed, Holy Spirit-filled mission where God moved mightily and won many people for his kingdom. It's great to be back, but I can't wait to go on my next missionary journey. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for your word for us today. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings us. And your word says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Thank you for shedding your blood for us so that we can have a restored relationship with Father God. And thank you for the testimonies you've given us, not just our conversion testimony, but all the ways you've intervened in our lives since then. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is alive and active today, just as much as he was in the book of Acts. And as we share our testimonies in a few minutes' time, we ask you to soften our hearts to you. Thank you for all the answered prayers that you've answered. And we ask that you extend your grace to those who are still waiting for their miracles, their answered prayers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.